Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So now we're starting the 18th chapter in the 9th canto. This is King Yayati Regains His Youth. So I'll read the summary here. This chapter gives the history of King Yayati, the son of Nahusha. Among Yayati's 5 sons, the youngest son, Puru, accepted Yayati's invalidity. When Nahusha, who had 6 sons, was cursed to become a python, his eldest son, Yati, took sannyas. And therefore the next son, Yayati, was enthroned as king. By providence, Yayati married the daughter of Sukracharya. Sukracharya was a brahmana and Yayati a kshatriya, but Yayati married her nonetheless. Sukracharya's daughter, named Devayani, had a girlfriend named Sarmista, who was the daughter of Vrishaparva. King Yayati married Sarmista also. The history of this marriage is as follows. Once Sarmista was sporting in the water with thousands of her girlfriends, and Devayani was also there. When the young girls saw Lord Shiva seated on his bull with Uma, they immediately dressed themselves, but Sarmista mistakenly put on Devayani's clothes. Devayani, being very angry, rebuked Sarmista, who also became very angry, and responded by rebuking Devayani and throwing her into a well. By chance, King Yayati came to that well to drink water, and he found Devayani and rescued her. Thus, Devayani accepted Maharaj Yayati as her husband. Thereafter, Devayani, crying loudly, told her father about Sarmista's behavior. Upon hearing of this incident, Sukracharya was very angry and wanted to chastise Vrishaparva, Sarmista's father. Vrishaparva, however, satisfied Sukracharya by offering Sarmista as Devayani's maidservant. Thus, Sarmista, as maidservant of Devayani, also went to the house of Devayani's husband. When Sarmista found her friend Devayani with a son, she also desired to have a son. Therefore, at the proper time for conception, she also requested Maharaj Yayati for sex. When Sarmista became pregnant also, Devayani was very envious. In great anger, she immediately left for her father's house and told her father everything. Sukracharya again became angry and cursed Maharaj Yayati to become old. But when Yayati begged Sukracharya to be merciful to him, Sukracharya gave him the benediction that he could transfer his old age and invalidity to some young man. Yayati exchanged his old age for the youth of his youngest son, Puru, and thus he was able to enjoy with young girls. Interesting. So this is the first verse. There's a purport with the second verse, so I'll just read the first verse. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, as the embodied soul has 6 senses, King Nahusha had 6 sons named Yati, Yayati, Sangyati, Ayati, Viyati, and Kriti. Now today's verse. Rajang Naichad Yati Pitra Dutong Tat Parinamavit Yatra Pravista Purusha Atmanam Navabudyate Rajang Naichadyati Pitra Datung Tat Parinamavit Yatra Pravista Purusha Atmanam Navabhujate Rajang Naichad Yati Pitra Daktan Tat Parinamavit Yatra Pavishta Purusha Atmanam Navabhujate Rajang Naichad Yati Pitra Datam tat parinamavit yatra pavishta purusha atmanam navabhujyate Montages. Rajam, the kingdom, na aichat, did not accept. Yati, the eldest son Yati. Pitra, by his father. Datam, offered. Tat parinam of it, knowing the result of becoming powerful as a king. Yatra, wherein, pravishta, having entered, purusha, such a person, atmanam, self-realization, na, not, avabhujyate, will take seriously and understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. When one enters the post of king or head of the government, one cannot understand the meaning of self-realization. Knowing this, Yati, the eldest son of Nahusha, did not accept the power to rule, although it was offered by his father. Purport, self-realization is the prime objective of human civilization, and it is regarded seriously by those who are situated in the mode of goodness and have developed the brahminical qualities. Kshatriyas are generally endowed with material qualities conducive to gaining material wealth and enjoying sense gratification. But those who are spiritually advanced are not interested in material opulence. Indeed, they accept only the bare necessities for a life of spiritual advancement and self-realization. It is specifically mentioned here that if one enters political life, especially in the modern day, one loses the chance for human perfection. Nonetheless, one can attain the highest perfection if one hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This hearing is described as Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Maharaj Pariksit was involved in politics, but because at the end of his life he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection very easily. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore suggested sthane stita shruti gatang tanu van manobir ye prayaso jitajitopya si taist philokyam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. Regardless of whether one is in the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness, if one regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam from the self-realized soul, one is freed from the bondage of material involvement. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krutuvachalam Pungun Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dhanatadanam Bancha Kalpati Yubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this Yati, smart man. He knew if I get entangled in this management, it's going to be very difficult to be Krishna conscious. Because management means you have to deal with so many problems, so many distractions. Very difficult. So he just wanted to serve Krishna, become free of this headache and engage in devotional service. And we see that there's so many examples of people, leaders who get in these positions, and it's very hectic. Even sometimes there's death. You know, presidents here in America have been killed. All over the world, leaders, they get killed. Politics. You know. It's very, very messy. And then also when one enters into this political arena, gives way to pride and attachment. Prabhupada would quite often mention how Gandhi, he tried so hard to get independence in India, and finally he was able to get it with some help from some others. But he was attached. He couldn't give up politics. Prabhupada wrote a letter to him, your unknown friend, saying that we have independence now. Now let's preach. You and me, let's go preach Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. But he wouldn't. Not interested. Couldn't give up his attachment to this politics. Couldn't give it up. So much so that which he tried so far to achieve, freedom through nonviolence, he was killed through violence. Couldn't give up that political arena. And throughout the world, there's dictators that they don't give up their position. And here in America also, people have political positions. They don't give them up until death comes. They're just so attached to these positions. So, better to just engage in devotional service. This is the goal of the human form of life. But people don't know. They get attached to so many other things. But we have examples, many examples of devotees here on this planet in the past. They were called Rajarsis. They were kings, but they were saints as well. Now that's difficult. One time a devotee mentioned to Prabhupada, you should be the president of the United States. Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to be president, but I can advise the president. That's what these saints would do. The Brahmanas, they would advise the president. But there were occasions when The king himself was a saint, and he led society so nicely. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, such saintly devotees. And they were so great that even though they were managing the world, still they were completely Krishna conscious. And there's Ambarish Maharaj, who perfected all the 9 different processes of devotional service while being a king. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Yeah. So, these personalities were so great that they could manage even in a situation like that and become devotees or remain devotees. So here in this purport, Prabhupada mentions this stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir. Stane means position. That one can have any position in the material world as long as, it's mentioned here, as one engages his mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. You know, if one can do this, then one can remain in any position. And if he does this, if he engages his mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna, then he conquers, here it's stated, jita jito, he conquers the unconquerable. Krishna is unconquerable. The only way he could be conquered is, as we're reading every day, he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. Nothing else can conquer Krishna than love for him. So, of course, this is what we're trying to attain. It's not easy. Actually, the activity of the soul is devotional service. But this devotional service, it becomes adulterated because of contact with matter. And as such, the disease activities of the soul become manifest in lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. So this is the diseased condition of the soul. So we're trying to become free of this disease. And fortunately, Krishna comes, Lord Chaitanya comes, the pure devotees come, and they give us direction on how to become free of this disease condition. And the way to become free of this disease is what we're doing here in Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna. In this verse, there's Pravishta. There's a very nice verse, Pravishta Karna Randvena Svanam Bhava Sururam Noti Salilam Krishna Salilasya Yatashvarat. That the literary incarnation of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of the self-realized devotee and cleanses it of all lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. Thus it acts like autumnal rain upon muddy pools of water. So this cleanses the heart, this hearing, Srimad Bhagavatam, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is how we get purified. And we can enter again, we can enter again into devotional service and become free of all this contamination. There's many examples of devotees also that were very successful. They had very successful positions, you know, in society. Just like Rupa Goswami, he was a minister. Sanatan Goswami, minister. So successful. But upon hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they gradually lost all interest in having these positions. And they wanted to give them up. And that they did. And they were so wealthy. Raghunath Das Goswami also, I was just listening to a lecture recently. Prabhupada said he was like a billionaire. He was a son of a billionaire. Unbelievable amount of wealth, but uninterested. When he heard the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. So they gave everything up. And they went to Vrindavan and became homeless, living under a different tree every night. But because they had Krishna consciousness, because they were engaged in devotional service, they were actually the wealthiest. Prema dhanavana vyana daridra jivan. Dasa kari vitanamar deha prema dana. Lord Chaitanya says if one does not have love for Krishna, one is a daridra jivan, a poor soul. So they were rich souls. And they wanted to give this richness. Therefore they wrote so many books to help us also become rich. And if we absorb the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we hear very attentively the holy names of Krishna, we'll also become very rich spiritually. And to the point where we can become so rich, our bank account becomes so big that we can be invited again back to the spiritual world. This is the goal. This is the goal. Recently I was at a university and one student came to the table and he was asking really good questions. This is rare. Because usually they're in a rush and they got so much in their head, you know, because of school. But he was asking really nice questions for some time. And then he asked me, so what's the goal? What's the goal of the Bhagavad Gita? What's the point? What's the end result supposed to be from reading this book? And I said, well, to go back to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. There's no death there. There's no old age. There's no disease. There's no school. He liked that. No police. Complete harmony. No anxiety. Vaikuntha. So, this is very interesting. Very interesting. I'm interested. I'd like to get this book. And he's a student. So he had $1. And all I had left was that one big Bhagavad Gita. And I said, you know, you're so nice. Generally, I don't do this, but you're so nice. You ask such nice questions. You get this big Bhagavad Gita for $1. Lord Chaitanya has come and slashed the prices. Cheap ticket back to the spiritual world. Inconceivable how far away it is. Of course, you have to do more than just get the ticket. There's so many tickets throughout the world now. 500 million tickets have been distributed throughout the world now. 500 million books. Unfortunately, a lot of them just sit there. And people don't read them. Such a valuable ticket. Priceless. But people don't take advantage. But some are taking advantage. All over the world, people are joining. Not as much as we would like. But they're joining, they're hearing, they're taking advantage. And now we have this marathon coming up, just right around the corner. The goal is 20,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Have we done that yet? Have we reached that goal yet? We have in the past. 2 times. Okay, so third time's a charm. Got to do it again. Of course, we have to all cooperate with this, not just the book distributors should engage in this activity. Everybody should participate in this activity of book distribution. Prabhupada said he wanted everybody to learn the art of book distribution. There's no other service where Prabhupada said he wanted everyone to learn the art. It's such an important activity, book distribution. Because people are suffering so much. Just like the other day, I was 2 o'clock in the morning, actually, I was out there. I was going to the BBT office. And two guys running, they tackled another guy and they started beating him up. Sunday morning, you know, what a way to start the Sunday morning, right? Just beating him up. And then the next morning, same time, Venice Boulevard is blocked. No cars allowed to go. So I went over to the policeman there. I said, hey, what's going on? What happened? He said, oh, one pedestrian was run over, killed, 2 o'clock in the morning. So much misery going on in this material world. So much suffering. So we have the cure for all the suffering in the material world. These books, these transcendental literatures. So a devotee doesn't like to see others suffering. Just like there was one king, Runti Dev, very, very famous king. He was also a Rajarsi, saintly king, very saintly, as you're going to hear. He was so saintly that he and his family, they went on some fast, a long fast, many days. This was another age when people can go on these long fasts. Anybody remember how many days? 48 days. It's a long fast. No water. No food. So the time came to break the fast, and they were in some secluded area, and food was brought for them, and he was getting to eat. He was getting ready to eat with he and his family members. And one brahmana came and said, oh, king, I'm very hungry. Please feed me. So he said, yes, please, come. So he gave a portion to this brahmana. And then they were getting ready to eat again. And a sudra came. Said, oh, king, please, I'm very hungry. Please feed me. So again, he gave a portion. And then they were getting ready to eat again. Actually, he let his family members eat. And then he was getting ready to eat. And then some guests came with dogs. Oh, king, we're very hungry. Please feed us. So he gave all his food to this guest and the dogs. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane kavi hastini. He sees with equal vision the brahmana, the dog, the elephant, dog eater. So he saw the soul in everyone. And he was completely selfless. Just imagine, 48 days. I mean, if we fast for a day, anybody here ever done nirjo? Raise your hand. You ever done nirjo? Oh, quite a few. So we know, nirjo. After that one day of nirjo, like, we're like, God, help me. So we know. So 48 days. But so he's just getting ready to drink his water. And a chandala comes and says, oh, king, I'm very thirsty. Please, can you give me water? Yes, please, take this water immediately. He gave the water. And then he says, arting prapadye kile deha bhajam. Arting prapadye kile deha bhajam. I can't remember it. It's a beautiful verse. He says, I do not want liberation, nor do I want the mystic perfections. But all I want is to be amongst people who are suffering in this material world and suffer on their behalf so that they become free of their suffering. So this is a real devotee. He wanted to accept whatever suffering he could to relieve, to help others become free of their suffering. Completely selfless, inconceivable. So book distribution, sometimes it can be a little difficult, be a little austere. But it's purifying. And we're helping others become free of their suffering by their getting these books. They understand, they can understand, I'm not this body, I'm the soul within. This is such a sublime path where people can understand reality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, "The flesh is not my own, alas, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs, should try to rise again. Why then this childish play in that which is not my own, which falls within 100 years, as if a rose ablown?" So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us some insight here. This body, it's just a dress. It's going to fall in a short time. But people, they don't know. They're absorbed in sense gratification. Just like there's a very famous mantra amongst the materialists: 'Tis folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss. They like that. Because that solidifies their endeavor to enjoy material sense gratification. But they don't know. They don't know that if one becomes wise, one becomes actually happy, satisfied. That's where the real happiness is. And therefore Krishna says, Rajavijaya, Rajaguyam, Pavitramadam Uttamam, Prakjit Savagamangdaram, Susukam Kartamavyam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It's the perfection of religion. It's everlasting. It's joyfully performed. So this is devotional service. It's the most joyful thing. It's so joyful that Rupa Goswami, he says, "When I chant the holy names of Krishna, I desire to have many, many millions of tongues to chant the names of Krishna, and many, many millions of ears to hear the holy name. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of my heart, it stops the activities of my mind and I experience unlimited happiness." So, can't compare that to sense gratification. I mean, sense gratification is just... this is temporary, you know, and illusory. Pada tapakari, you know. One endeavors to experience some pleasure in this material world, but he gets a reaction for that. Whenever we try to enjoy in this material world, we get a reaction for that. So better to experience real happiness, inner happiness. I was speaking to one student and said, "Yeah, this book teaches about inner happiness, higher consciousness." He said, "Oh, inner happiness. Oh, I never heard about that before. Sounds good, though. Inner happiness. Everybody is trying to get this external, try to make some arrangements to get some external pleasure. Just like now we're going to have the Black Friday soon. And people are so... they get on such a frenzy to get things, to get as many things as they can. You know, there's special deals. They want to get those special deals and get all these things, thinking that by these things I'll become happy. And then they go to get their things, and sometimes there's stampedes on Black Friday. People die. Stampedes. People get shot. And so much violence. You know, they spend the night at some of these Walmart. They sleep overnight to be in the front of the line. And they get so crazy. It's like Radha Swami, he says, "In the past, we would love people and use things. Now they love things and use people." You know, so it's become so degraded. They think by things we'll become happy. But no amount of things are going to bring any happiness. The only thing that's going to bring happiness is devotional service. Pure devotional service. So, this is the message that we want to give to the people. And this is the message that we're trying to absorb. That we're trying to take shelter of this. Savai pung sang pro dharmo yato bhakti yato sate hait kapriti. The supreme occupational duty for all mankind is that by which one can engage in loving devotional service. And such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So this is the goal. This is real happiness. Yeah. So we want people to know. We want to let everybody know of what is real happiness. We want everybody to know how wonderful Krishna is. We want them to know about who they are. They're spirit souls, eternal servants of Krishna. It's like so many leaders. There's about 200 countries in the world now. But you ask any one of them, who are you? I'm President Obama. No idea who they actually are. But you ask any bhakti here, who are you? Me, they say, I'm eternal servant of Krishna. So they're more elevated than all these leaders throughout the world. So, any question or comment? Correction? Yes, Maharaj.
Before I speak, are there anyone who has any questions? Because that should come before what I'm going to say. I just wanted to tie up the end of this very wonderful story that you told at the beginning. The four persons who entered the Brahmin, the Sudra, the dog eater, who entered, and at that time, as you mentioned, King Ranti Dev, he hadn't eaten or drunk anything for 48 days, and then when the big platter of food was put there, one piece by piece, there was nothing left at the end. Okay, the question was, how did that happen? And why are we even hearing this story? So the story ends in which we find out that those four persons were actually Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and they impersonated, or they took on those forms, for no other reason to show the glory of this great king, how much he could sacrifice, how much charity he had in his heart, how much he was even willing to die if it was necessary so that someone else could eat, who didn't even have even anywhere near the amount of hunger that the king had. And the interesting thing about that is that when the king gave that water, the last thing, all of his hunger disappeared. And he was filled with transcendental bliss, so much bliss that he had never had in his entire life. And when he was experiencing that bliss, that's when Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma materialized and manifested and said to him, this sacrifice that you have made, this charity that you have offered, will never be forgotten. It will be remembered throughout eternity. People will go on talking about it and talking about it as a symbol of what a great king really is. So that's we never know when we're going to be tested, and he was ready for it.
Thank you. I knew about that, but I didn't continue on. Thank you for finishing the story. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.